glad I got sunshine in a bag. I'm useless, but not for long. The future is coming on. I ain't happy. I'm feeling glad I got sunshine in a bag. I'm useless, but not for long. The future is coming on. It's coming on. It's coming on. It's coming on. It's coming on.
Welcome. It is the third week of May, and this is your Minority Sports Report with Big Black, Julian, and Elliot.
Yeah.
You got a big week. We had 2 weeks worth of stuff to talk about, so, you know, we should get right up to it. John, start us off.
Start off with the NBA playoffs, obviously, because that's the most important thing going on right now.
There are NHL playoffs.
Like I said, then hockey, but it's the most important right now because there's only four teams left.
Yep.
So that's why it's taking precedent over hockey.
So we're only a month away from the championship.
Only a month. Only a month, yeah.
Memphis did very, very poorly today against San Antonio.
They did do very, very poorly today, but let's even take it back a week because we've got the Golden State going out and Oklahoma going out. I had a brain fart. That's why I got really quiet.
No problem.
But, yeah, so OKC, you know, they got beat. Not handedly, but they got beat down, you know, by the rough and tough Grizzlies. No.
Yes.
Yeah, it was the Grizzlies. Wasn't the Grizzlies? Yeah, that's right, because yeah. San Antonio played Golden State. Yeah, I had an edible too, so. Julian had brought up a good point about Steph Curry and Golden State. Because I didn't know this, but apparently they went out. Steph Curry went out like a soldier. Julian, would you care to retell that?
Oh, this was really classy. I thought it was a nice development for Steph Curry and just Golden State. But after they lost to San Antonio, they like stayed on the floor, and Steph Curry like grabbed the microphone, and he just basically he told the crowd, you know, thank you. This didn't end the way we wanted it to, but we're a young team. We're going to be better. But, you know, thanks to the fans. And, the whole team went in and said, we are one. And it was just like the classiest exit to the playoffs I've seen in a long time from any sport. And it's nice to see that from a young team, especially one and from a superstar as talented as Steph Curry, because I think this was his coming out year. I think Steph Curry is going to be a force to be reckoned with.
Julian, I agree with you that Steph Curry is going to be really good for a long time. He's probably the best pure three-point shooter that is in the NBA right now. But I wasn't aware of that. And I got to say, just having gotten to know this Golden State team, the Mark Jackson, and I am a Nuggets homer, so let's keep that in mind. I will admit that up the front, but... when you lose a playoff series, the focus should be on the team that just beat you, not the team that you are that lost. So when they go out there and they, you know, you can say that that's classy. I think that that's more like they think that they should be the center of attention. And that's kind of what the vibe that I got from the Warriors the entire season, not just the playoffs, but overall, kind of just thought that they were a lot better than they actually were. And when they had to play a real team that had real superstars, they played well and they won some games. But in the end, San Antonio was just a better team. And it was pretty clear that they have a lot of work to do. And, you know, maybe when David Lee comes back next year and plays strong and, you know, they've had this playoff experience and they can come back and be good. But they need to really, in my opinion, be a little bit more humble about the way that they carry themselves because when Steph Curry is pounding his chest and, you know, Mark Jackson is talking about how the Nuggets are taking cheap shots and, you know, all that shit, that says to me that they, you know, they're not ready to be a championship contender, despite what they might believe.
See, now I, for those exact reasons that you said, and like, I'm like, how can you not like them? They're young, they're overly confident, they're full of swagger. You know, it's like, yeah, we just lost, but fuck that. We coming back next year. You know, I just like, I don't know. There's just like this young, like, I don't care. You know, when we're all young, it's like, I want to do whatever the hell I want when I get older, you know, and then you get older and it's like, oh, can't really do that. I guess I'm kind of just like, you know, vicariously living through that culture. You know, it's just like, we're young. We got skills. We're making noise. Get out of our way. And, you know, for me, and it's just like, you know, I can't. I gravitate, you know, I never paid attention to California, but I like Golden State.
Golden State, see, cool.
To me, when you're in the playoffs and kind of attitude when he was a player, but I don't know, I just always like, you know, like a Phil Jackson who's not gonna, you know, be, you know, making speeches and talking about how great they are. You know, he's
yeah, but Phil Jackson. I mean,
sure. Nobody's, I mean, he's the epitome of a great coach, so why wouldn't you want to emulate that?
I mean, other than him being a Holocaust denier, he's a great guy.
You might want to preface that, Julian, by saying
that's satire. That's satire.
The opinions of the Minority Sports Report do not necessarily reflect.
Yeah.
Facts. Hey, Fox News gets away with bigger lies than that every day.
So getting back to Western Conference Finals and the Eastern Conference Finals, you got the San Antonio against Memphis. Memphis is a really physical, really good defensive team. They're going to play harder
today.
What was that, Julian?
For all the good that did them today.
Yeah, I mean, you know, when you open up a series and it's in San Antonio, I mean, the
game. And they have lost the first game of both of the series that they ended up winning. So.
Sure. They're a good young team. You know, I think if you look at, they're not as exciting because they're not as flashy as Golden State. But if you're looking at a team that actually plays really good fundamental basketball, and they have a lot of the pieces that are going to be, I mean, honestly, I think that Memphis is a much better matchup for the Heat if they do end up going to the finals and playing the Heat. I think that they can, as much as any team could possibly give the Heat a run for their money. I think Memphis is that kind of team just because they play really physical and they don't back down from, you know, a superstar coming and trying to score 30 or 40 points. But that remains to be seen because the Heat still have to dispose of Indiana. Yeah. And that's another team that plays good fundamental defense and, you know, they're a good team all around.
Yeah, but can they beat LeBron four times?
No, no one can.
No. Exactly. That's the thing. It's like, yeah, they're a good team, but you can't beat them four times out of seven.
Even with Dwayne Wade being a little gimpy and, you know, it doesn't matter. They're just so good. I mean, they're such a fun team to watch, and they can actually back up all of the, you know, all of the confidence and all of the arrogance that they carry with them.
Now so, they can.
To me, that's like, if you're going to have that kind of swagger and that kind of bravado and that kind of arrogance, then you better win the championship.
Yeah, but LeBron was otherwise, like that before he won.
We are all witnesses.
You know, it's like he didn't have a championship and he was doing the same shit. But on a higher level because it was LeBron and everybody else. You know, it's just like, you know, I don't know. It's just it's the same shit, really. You know.
Okay, so who's going to push the Heat farther in the series? Memphis. Elliot thinks Memphis. Do you agree with him, John?
Oh, say that again.
Out of like, who do you think is going to push the Heat the farthest in the playoffs? Because we all seem to think that Miami is going to repeat.
Oh, I honestly think if anybody's going to do it, it's going to be the Pacers because the Pacers have their number. You know, they can beat the Heat. I think maybe three times. Honestly, I think they might go to Game 7, and especially if Wade deteriorates even further, I can easily see it going seven. You know, obviously I think Miami will end up taking it, but I think it'd be the Pacers to push them because the Grizzlies are good, but I don't have the numbers, but they don't beat them as much as Indiana has or can, you know, so that's just how I feel about it.
So John, you think it's going to be you think it's going to be the Heat, that they could go to seven games against the Pacers, but who do you think is going to win in the West to represent the Western Conference?
Easily San Antonio.
You think they got
it? You don't have the same kind of respect for the Grizzlies that you didn't even remember the name of the team.
No, that was partly because I was super stoned and not focused. Don't worry, I'm going to erase all that shit out. I'm like, whoa.
Yeah, I think we've had this conversation about the playoffs mm-hmm. over and over again. Yeah. It's different every time because it's fun.
It's different, and you know the players aren't the same. There's injuries. You know, there's different shit going
on. Huh? D-Rose has got proms to go to.
Let's talk about that. I think that's actually one of the most interesting things. Not the teams that are playing right now, but the teams that lost, that had so much hype and so much controversy surrounding players not playing and.
You mean one player not playing?
Well, let's look at the New York Knicks, who are horribly overhyped.
Oh God, yes.
Come on.
I mean, they're basically the 2009 Denver Nuggets. And
they did great things. They made it to the conference finals.
Sure.
Sure.
But you know who they had? Okay, the difference between the 2013 Knicks and the 2009 Denver Nuggets is George Karl. And
Chauncey.
And they also had guys like Dante Jones and people who played really solid defense, and the Knicks just did not have that kind of presence.
The Knicks were just, it was so terrible.
So soft. And they take so many jump shots. And, you know.
Because they have to.
Yeah, of course they do. That's the Eastern Conference.
But it's like, okay, if JR is having an off night, then Melo has to be on. And if Melo is having an off night, then JR has to be on. But if they're both having an off night, nobody's making baskets. What, you're going to ask Kenyon Martin to score you 20 points?
Yeah, but even still, it's like, even if Melo's off, J.R. Smith can't put up Melo numbers consistently. Like, it's impossible. Like, that team was designed to fail, and that's what's been happening to the Knicks ever since Patrick Ewing missed that layup. I swear to God, it's just like, their front office makes terrible decisions, man. Terrible decisions. It's...
Well, and they did have a player missing that is gets away with a lot more than Derrick Rose does. You know, I'm as big of a critic of Derrick Rose not playing in the playoffs or at all this year as anybody. But Amari Stoudemire is just as bad.
Glass knees,
of
an man.
Example. I mean, I think the only other person you could really point to is Andrew Bynum for the Sixers, who is just like – willfully flaunting the fact that he didn't want to play, but he still wanted to collect millions of dollars in a paycheck.
Hey, come on. It takes a lot of work to fit into that suit every night.
And to cut your hair in a crazy half afro. Anyway, I think, the players that want to play and show up, it's so clear the differences between the really good teams in the NBA and the teams that are just out there to collect a paycheck, and you know they can talk about how they want to win a championship, but you know it's not just having a superstar; it's having a mentality. To some extent, Golden State, I agree with you guys that they have that mentality. But I think San Antonio obviously has the mentality from the pedigree that they have on their team, and Greg Popovich, and you know they have at least three Hall of Famers on their team right now. It's just. You know, do you want to put in the amount of work that it takes to know your opponent, study film? You know, everybody in the NFL always constantly studying film. And I think that NBA and to a lesser extent, other sports, they don't kind of, there's not that emphasis from the fans on like, you know, preparation. And the teams that do that preparation and are well coached and go out there and really want to win, you can tell the difference.
Oh, yeah. And again, it always starts at the top, you know. It starts with the management, man, and the owner. If they got, you know, if they have sound minds, yeah. You know, it's just the trickle down effect. You know what I mean?
I mean, look at New England, the Patriots in the NFL. That is a team where they have everything clicking on all cylinders. They know what they want to do. You know, they don't try to pretend like they're in there to be friends with everybody. You know, they're going to run that team as well as they possibly can. And they have a lot of championships to show for it. And I mean, obviously there's only one team that's going to win the championship every year. Mm-hmm. And, you know, sometimes it comes down to the last play, you know, in the Super Bowl or, you know, a game seven shot or, you know, a strikeout or whatever. But the teams that are championship teams, they always find a way, you know, and they're in it every single year. And those are the teams that I have respect for, not the teams that are going to go out there and talk trash and, you know, have that swagger that you guys love so much. I think the teams and the players that are just quietly go about and do their job and do it really, really well, those are the teams and the players that I have a lot of respect for.
Yeah, I agree with you, you know, but it's like, you know, it's Golden State. Obviously, we're going to keep bringing it back. What the fuck has been going on down there, you know what I'm saying? Nothing, you know, it's just like the Tebow effect. Everybody else on the outside is like, relax, you know, but you're in it. You're pumped. You're hyped.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, that's true.
It's just like, that's what's going on for them right now. And, you know, it's Tebow time in Golden State.
Steph Curry time.
No, okay. No, because Tebow was omnipresent.
But here's something I want to talk about. I want to talk about when the switch flipped from being sympathetic about D-Rose sitting to being outright angry about it, because it seemed like it happened in one day. Everybody was like, I talked to everybody, and they were like, you know, he knows his body. He's going to come back when he's ready. And then just one day, so everybody was just like, he needs to get on the fucking floor and play some goddamn basketball. And I just want to know, like, for me, it seemed to be that third game against Miami where it was 1-1 and everybody was like, oh, he's coming back. And he didn't. And I think that was the moment when Chicago turned on him. Do you guys agree, disagree? Did you find that at all?
I did not. Chicago, I agree. Me, I really don't care. I'm still of the mindset like, yo, he's still getting paid. He's going to do what he's going to do. Now, if he would have played...
$3.2 million.
Let's just say he would have played and got re-injured. Everybody would have been like, oh my God. Or let's just say he played and they still lost. People still would have been pissed off at him. You know, so for him, fuck it. I don't care. You can be mad. I'm coming back next year, and you're going to forget all about it.
The thing that really sticks out to me for Derrick Rose is that he was in that commercial before the season started. Like, I'm going to come back. You know, oh, this is really horrible. I can't believe how tough it is to be injured. And, you know, oh, I'm working really hard. And then he just didn't play at all. You know, I mean, like, maybe do fewer commercials and work more with your trainer, you know. Go to more physical therapy sessions instead of starring in Nike commercials or whatever the hell the product was.
I think it was Adidas.
Yeah, or whatever. It doesn't matter. Oh, I mean, you know, I think that, well, first of all, I think that it wasn't just overnight. Like, maybe there was a tangible flip when he didn't come out in game three. But there was the pot was boiling the entire season for Derrick Rose.
Oh, yeah.
Because he was kind of the running joke. I mean, you know, those NBA memes that John loves. It's always just talking about how Derrick Rose is never going to come back and never going to play again, even though he's medically cleared.
Yes.
The doctors are like,
he's the healthiest guy on that team.
Yes.
Derrick, you can go out there and play. He's like, oh, but I don't, that's not going to happen. Sorry. You know, that's, when fans are, you know, fans have a choice. You don't have to be a fan. You don't have to spend your money on Bulls gear and, you know, going to the United Center and spending $100 on tickets and beer and hot dogs and everything. So, you know, to some extent, I think that it's a little bit hypocritical for the Bulls fans to be supporting that team and then turn around and say like, oh, but my favorite player didn't play. You know, it's the same kind of thing with in the baseball context. There's a few examples, but, you know, being in Denver, Troy Tulowitzki has come under fire recently for a very similar choice to sit out a couple of games and not play every day, like most baseball players are expected to do. And, you know, I've heard stories where, like, people are saying, oh, well, I came down from Wyoming and I brought my kid, and his favorite player is Troy Tulowitzki, and Tulowitzki's not in the lineup. And, it's not because he's got, a typical Tulo injury where he's out for 40 games. He's just deciding consciously not to play. So I can understand that. But you know what? Don't go down there and spend the money if you, if you don't want to take the risk. You know, it's just like when you go to a Broadway play and the understudy is acting that night. You know, it's just a risk you take. Being a sports fan, you're never going to be happy, really. But at the same time, I mean, Derrick Rose is just like taking it to a new level.
Yeah, but like as an outsider, though, you know, I don't know. Like the Tulowitzki thing you just said, you know what? If he's going to sit out 4 or 5, I don't know how many games it is. It's better than 40, you know.
Right.
Yeah, that's the thing, though. With Tulo, I'm like, yeah, you need to sit out because I don't want you out for 60 games this season, which is your habit.
And the thing is, he's been incredible this year. He's probably going to be an all-star starter, and he's definitely the best shortstop in baseball right now. So, yeah, I mean, I definitely don't want to
see him waste his prime here in Colorado.
Well, that's another story. So are we going to talk about some NHL playoffs? I will tell you guys, I have not watched one game of the NHL playoffs.
I've watched a couple seconds of every game.
Okay, my friend, who is a huge hockey fan, has not watched any NHL playoff games and has watched almost all of the NBA games, which is like the state.
That is nuts. He was all bitching during the lockout, and now he's not even watching it.
No, it's hilarious, because I'm just like, you were complaining that hockey was done, and you won't even fucking watch, like, games where guys are losing teeth every game?
Yeah, that's...
Here's something I'm happy about for the NHL playoffs. Only one Canadian team remains. And Julian will say this. He doesn't care much who wins the Stanley Cup, just as long as it ain't the Red Wings or a Canadian team.
Why do you still hate the Red Wings from the now long dormant Avs Red Wings rivalry, Julian?
No, I hate them more like I hate the Yankees. They just win all the time.
Yeah.
And it's just like
that's a really good organization. I mean,
no, I'm not saying I don't respect what they do and the fact that, you know, Detroit is
say that.
Okay.
They're a good organization, and they have some of the, you know, most probably despicable players that have played other than Scott Bertuzzi in terms of interaction with the Avs. But
they are perennial Stanley Cup team, and that's, you know, I can respect that, but it's still like I don't want them to win. I would much rather see like LA or San Jose
or Boston. Yeah, we need another championship in our city.
Speaking of Boston,
it's been a couple of years.
One of the greatest comebacks of a Game 7 in sports history, not just NHL history. Actually,
I did watch that.
Yeah, that was nuts. Yeah. I didn't watch it. I was stalking.
It was good. It was exciting.
Yeah, I made the unfortunate decision to watch the Rockies get like 5 hit the other night instead of watching that game. And, it's amazing. In hockey, to come back from 4-1 at all, in the third period, is virtually unheard of. So it's pretty cool, you know, all the stuff that Boston has been through the last 2 months. It's pretty, or I guess it was only a month, but it's nice to see, because the Boston fans love the Bruins.
They're one of the original six.
Yeah, yeah, it's nice to see the Bruins doing well, and I'm not a fan of Boston sports teams, but it is good that they're doing well, and you know, if they can go and make a deep run in the playoffs. I honestly don't even know who's the favorite of the NHL playoff teams to win the Stanley Cup.
I think the Blackhawks are still.
Yeah, I have no clue. It has to be.
we're the worst sports podcast of all time.
No, this is me and Julian were talking about it earlier. This is just an NFL podcast in disguise.
Hey, we've been talking a lot of NBA, so.
We have. But guess who's hot right now? And, you know, we need to.
Well, there are off-season, what is it? Oh, I just call them OTAs because I have no idea what OTA stands for. Off-season training activities? Is that what it is?
I think so, yeah.
all the NFL teams got some workouts going, and we're very, very close. We're what, less than 4 months away from kickoff with the Broncos and the Ravens playing a rematch on the Thursday night, the first game of the NFL season.
Exciting Thursday night football.
Oh, the preseason and training camp, and it's just going to be so much fun. It's the best time of the year, that August into September, right, you know, when you fantasy drafts and all of the stuff that associates with the NFL. Such a good job of permeating itself into American culture.
It's organized to be like team activity.
What is it?
Organized team activity.
Oh, okay. Thank you, John.
No problem.
Continue. There. Now we're not the worst.
Yeah!
We do research here at the Minority Sports Report.
Mostly opinion, though. Yeah, it is. Mostly poorly informed opinion.
Yeah. It's entertaining as fuck, though.
For us.
It is. It's good. This is golden, baby. This is gold.
So can we talk a little bit about baseball right now?
You don't have to ask me, homeboy. Just do it. Let's talk.
I wanted to talk a little bit about some surprising teams and teams that like shouldn't be surprising, but because of the off-season moves that they made. First and foremost, the Rockies are a game out of first place, and I know it's May, and they've been really bad the last couple of weeks, but they just won their first season against the world champion San Francisco Giants in a good 5 years at Coors Field. So, and they beat Barry Zito, who they hadn't beat in like 3 or 4 years against the Giants. That's a really surprising team to me. You know, I'm on record on this show saying that they're illusory and that they're not going to win. But it's been exciting to see them actually try to not suck nearly as bad the last few games. They lost a series to Chicago in Wrigley. They're a big surprise for me. The other teams that are really surprising are Texas, and for different reasons, obviously, Texas and the LA Angels. Because the LA Angels, when you look at that team, that lineup top to bottom, I mean, that's like...
They have the second highest payroll in baseball.
Yeah, that shit's nuts, man.
It's ridiculous.
Ridiculous.
So it just shows you, as much as we complain about the Monforts not wanting to spend money, you can have a disastrous out. And the other LA team, too. The Dodgers are right now in the basement. They've only won 17 games. Oof. They have a team full of all-stars, and they've had some injuries, too, to go along with it. And, you know, if all these players are healthy at the same time, this probably isn't going to happen. But when you look at guys like Josh Hamilton, Albert Pujols, the Adrian Gonzalez, you know, all these guys for these LA teams not showing up. And then you have teams like the Yankees who are basically putting out a triple A club right now and still managing to be in contention for the lead going into the month of June. It's just funny. That's what I like about baseball. You know, it's such a long slog that you can have a team like the Rockies or the Yankees where all their stars are injured and they can still show up because, you know, if you have a good enough, if you have a good enough coach, or I don't even know what it is. It's not even that. But for some reason, teams like Texas and New York and Colorado, which weren't even supposed to show up, like people were picking Colorado to win 53 games. And they've already won 24, so, you know, the chances of them winning more than 53 are pretty high.
But it's still the Rockies.
It is still the Rockies, and they will find a way to break my heart, Julian. Break both of our hearts.
Every season.
Baseball has been pretty good, actually, so far. I've been pleasantly surprised with the games that I've watched. And which are mostly Rockies games, but there was a really good game tonight, Texas and Detroit, and then another team that's surprising, the Cleveland Indians, perennially one of the worst teams. You know, they haven't won a World Series since 1948, and they've they've come out and they're number one right now in their division. And of course, lots of things are going to change. You know, we're
is
about
Ubi still pitching for them?
Oh yeah, oh yeah. And he's playing pretty well. He's actually come back and had some good outings. So that trade, we'll see if Drew Pomeranz comes out and does well this year. He's still in AAA right now. But,
yeah, of course he is, because that's what
that's because do. that's for reasons. Baseball is very complicated in terms of when you have to start paying players more money and, you know, the negotiations that can take place. They have to have a certain number of games played before they can hit arbitration. So that's why they're not doing that with Pomeranz. Anyway.
All right. Well, we're going to do one more segment. We're going to do sport or not a sport. I want to do this one because I think it's a good one. We're going to talk Quidditch.
Quidditch.
Because the Quidditch World Cup is starting. This year, it will be played in South. Yeah, the Quidditch World Cup is starting.
Okay, go ahead, Julian. Finish what you were saying.
You can buy tickets to the Quidditch World Cup sponsored by the International Quidditch Association. As people may or may not know, Quidditch is a fictional sport in the Harry Potter world in which it is ridden on brooms. But several colleges and teams have sprouted up in the world, and they have a Quidditch World Cup. And they have a governing body, teams and standings.
Okay.
So... with a rule, there are rules, and you can play this, like, you know, with your friends if you want to. Currently, there are 905 teams in the U.S.
Crazy.
66 in the U.K. 62 in Canada. 39 in Australia.
Wow.
Only 6 in China. These are internationally recognized teams. 8 in Brazil.
Brazil.
But so yes, the Quidditch World Cup is going to be held this summer. Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. It's already been played. It was played this
I'm weekend. Shocked that we hadn't heard about it yet.
But
what was the final score?
The University of Texas is the world champion.
They would be.
How do you play this game, Quidditch?
That's what I was wondering. I'm a huge Harry Potter fan. I love the Harry Potter books and the movies, and I think Quidditch, if it was a real and magic existed, and you had people flying around on brooms, that would be really exciting. But please, Julian, explain to us how this works with the fact that magic isn't real.
Magic is not real in
yes,
this
it is.
Universe. But what you do is you have it's the same rules as in Harry Potter, in the sense that you have three chasers who are people who throw the quaffle, which is a large red ball, through a hoop, three hoops at the end of the pitch on either side. There is a seeker who tries to find the snitch, which is a independent player who dressed in gold or yellow, and they get to run anywhere they want, and the two seekers have to find them. And you have a keeper in front of the goals to block the quaffle, and two beaters, too, who throw dodgeballs at you.
Okay.
So, and it's played much the same way as in the books. 10 points are scored every time you get a quaffle through the hole, and the game ends when one of the team catches the snitch with a 150-point bonus.
Do you have to have a broom between your legs when you're
doing this? Yes, you carry a broom the entire time. You have to like run around with a broom.
Oh my goodness.
In between your legs. So like you have to like, you have to do like one of those and like just tuck it under your sack and just go with it.
And run the entire time. Oh, man. If you drop your broom, that's a penalty.
Well, yeah, because that's like you're falling off the broom.
We get the basic point here, Julian.
To your death. No, that's interesting because if you fell off your broom when you were flying, you'd fucking die.
Well, yeah. You know, you would just cast a spell and then heal your bones. But pushing up my glasses right now.
There's no magic.
So, I think that, and I can't believe I'm saying this. There are a lot of things to it that have the same qualities as what a sport would have. Mm-hmm. There's athletic activity. They have to run around, which is more than I can say for, you know, it's basically like LARPing, but you keep score is what it sounds like to me. So there are points scored. There's a ball that goes through something. So you have to actually throw it and get it through something, which
there's a governing body, though. There's an international governing body with a rule book and, you know.
Yeah, there's also people who get around and play, Magic the Gathering.
There's money to be made in Magic. Don't sleep. Don't sleep. I was really into Magic for a little while. There's money in it.
There's probably money in this, too. I mean, I'm sure that there's endorsements, Bernie Bot's Every Flavor Beans probably, wants to sponsor the best Quidditch player at the University of Texas, and they have to wear a patch that says Bernie Bots on it. I'm sure Fly Emirates, is on some of these too. That was a soccer reference, but I think that that is not a sport. I'm just gonna say that it is basically LARPing, live action. For those who are not familiar with LARPing, is live action role playing, wherein you dress up like a dwarf or whatnot, and try to hit people.
Dressing up, though. I mean, they wear uniforms, but it's not like they're pretending to be someone they're not.
Let me ask you this, Julian. Are you positing that that is a sport?
I would say it's more of a sport than golf.
Oh, my God, Julian.
I think golf.
You can't just say something like that without giving an explanation. Let me hear. I want to hear your argument as to why this
is more of a personal sport. You're not really playing against anybody else. You're just playing for your best score. It doesn't matter, if you have a teammate or not. You can play golf by yourself and have a perfectly good time. I think sport is more, for me personally, it's having a goal, competing against others. In more of a I gotta cross the finish line first, I gotta score the most points, I gotta make the most baskets, shoot the, And for me, it's just like golf, you can do that by yourself on a fine Sunday, Saturday afternoon, but with Quidditch, you would need to you have to have a team and you'd have to have an opponent. Same with running. Same with a race. You need an opponent. I just feel, for me, golf is more of an activity. But, if I'm in the minority, that's fine. That's fine.
All right, so just let
we're
me...
We're not just...
No, no, hold on. Let me get this hold on. Anything humans find amusing or entertaining is the definition of sport. That's all I have to say to counter your argument.
Okay, so, John, you're the voice. You're going to be the deciding vote.
Hello! Is it athletic? Hell yeah, it's athletic. Is it organized? Yes, it is. Is it contact? I don't know. Is it contact, Julian?
They throw dodgeballs at you.
Yeah, they throw dodgeballs at you.
But you can't, run at somebody?
There's no checking, I'm guessing.
I mean, you can, but you're going to be penalized for it.
Yeah, I'll be the bad boy Quidditch, son.
Dennis Rodman. Peter, John.
Hell yeah. Dyeing my hair all types of color, wearing wedding dresses to practice.
I mean, listen, we're talking about practice.
Talking about practice?
Not a game. Not a game. Not a game. We're talking about practice.
But Quidditch is not a sport.
Yes, thank
not
you, John.
Not a sport.
Ethan has finally been heard. I can't believe we devoted the last 10 minutes. I mean, those are the longest 9 minutes of my life. I love Harry Potter. But that is not a sport. There is no way in hell you could tell me that, I mean, listen, you can run around and you can throw a ball through a hoop, but when you have a broom between your legs and you have to, like, basically hop around.
Is that the defining problem, is that you have to have carry a broom?
That is my biggest problem with it.
Like, if they didn't have brooms, would you be like, yeah, okay?
Well, all right, for me, it's like, if Quidditch is a sport, basketball is a sport. That's how I feel about it.
Basketball is way more of a sport than Quidditch.
I would be. We should save that for some
outrageous. Yep, I want that drop.
That's really good. We have to do that.
Yeah, that's ridiculous, Julian. I cannot believe that you are saying that that is a sport.
All right. I was wrong.
You still have your strongly held belief that Quidditch is a sport, but. I, you know what, Julian? If you go and watch a game of Quidditch or turn on TV, like, let's say magically there's enough interest in the Quidditch World Cup that they play it on the Ocho or whatever they're going to play it on. If you actually watched an entire match and didn't...
I would rather watch a Quidditch match than the Little League World Series.
Ooh, that's interesting. Okay. What about, would you rather watch? Well, that's kind of an unfair comparison, because the Little League World Series, everybody only watches it purely to watch little kids cry.
That's why I watch it, because, you know, I get off on that.
but what about, would you rather watch like the Masters than or Quidditch World Cup?
Ooh, that's a good one, because I'm inclined to say I would rather watch Quidditch, just because I haven't watched the Masters, and I always have the opportunity to, I just never do.
Obviously, Elliot, I'm with you.
Thank you, John. I really appreciate that.
Well, I am clearly in the wrong, and that's how we're going to end it. Thank you so much for listening. On behalf of Elliot and John, we'll see you next week.
My name always starts off as Big Black, but at the end of the podcast, it's John.